This is day six of the 2007 Ottawa Bible School. Our second period teacher is Brother Kitson Reed. His general topic is the hand of God in our lives. Today's topic is, but out of them all. Brother Kitson.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I'm going to miss that. I think one of the difficult things, brothers and sisters, as we walk towards the kingdom, one of the difficult things is to really try and recognize the hand of God in our lives. And I think one of the ways in which we can strive to see the hand of God in our lives is to remember the simple, but I think profound, objective. And the objective is this: that whatever happens in our lives, we are called according to God's purpose, right? Whatever God brings into our lives, we must remember that we are called according to God's purpose. And with that in mind, I want us now, in our final address, to look at another facet of how the hand of God worked in the life of two men, Paul and Barnabas, upon Paul's very first missionary journey. And so we need to remember then the objective, that we are called according to God's purpose. You will know that Paul's missionary journey, his first, takes place in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. Will you turn there, please? Verse 1. Now, in verse 1, you may well be aware that in verse 1, there is a cross-section of the various nations. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mahanaim, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Called according to God's purpose. What would be the challenges, brothers and sisters, that through God's hand would come into the lives of Paul and Barnabas? Remember, they were called according to God's purpose. The God of heaven and earth knew the end from the beginning. And in order for them to trust the guiding hand of God in their lives, they had to remember the prime objective. Simple. That we are called according to God's pleasure, according to His purpose. And so they are separated, Paul and Barnabas, for the work, notice, whereunto I have called them. We are called according to God's purpose. we accept the guiding hand in our lives. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. Things were great. Things were getting better. The Gentiles were willing to hear the word. They were invited, brothers and sisters, to preach God's word. Things were getting better and better. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeing, and turned away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him. So here then we have the opposition. Sergius Paulus wants to hear. Elymas the sorcerer brings the obstacle. And look closely, brothers and sisters, how the Apostle Paul deals then with this opposition to him preaching the truth to Sergius. Verse 10. And said to Elymas, the sorcerer, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Strong words. Full of all subtlety, mischief, child of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. How strange is that, brothers and sisters? Do we not see a mirror image? Does Paul not see a mirror image? For he was once like that, brothers and sisters. He was once an enemy of all righteousness. He was once a child of the devil. He was once perverting the preaching of the gospel. He was once full of all mischief, hailing men and women and dragging them to judgment. And when the Apostle Paul sees this man, he sees himself. For as the Apostle Paul, brethren and sisters, was made blind in order that he might see, so also the very first miracle that the Apostle Paul, we are recorded, performs, he also makes this man blind in order that he might see. And the Apostle Paul, brothers and sisters, sees in this man what he once was. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Remember in Acts chapter 9 verse 8? But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And the Apostle Paul sees in this man what he once was himself. And as we preach, brethren and sisters, to our interested friends, we see what we once was. Aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, without hope in the world, in darkness. We who were once mischievous, children of the devil, walking in darkness, and yet the light of the gospel has shined in our hearts that we might see and walk before Him. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Lovely that, isn't it, brothers and sisters? John travels with them for a certain distance, we're told there, remember, earlier on in the chapter, verse 5, and then takes them on their journey, and then returns home, bringing the news back to the ecclesia. Verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day, and sat down, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Things were getting better and better, brothers and sisters. Now, not only the Gentiles, now the Jews had invited Paul and Barnabas to sit in the midst of them and talk about the truth. How exciting things was. Well, yes, of course. We're called according to God's purpose. Things are getting better and better. We're richly blessed by God. God is opening the door that we might preach to the Jew and to the Gentile. Things are getting better and better. Why, of course they would. We're called according to God's purpose. And from verse 16, right the way down the chapter, brethren and sisters, right down to verse 41 and 42, they have a long discourse and they are able to preach God's word. Verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next day. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So now, brothers and sisters, the Gentiles particularly are encouraging them to stay and to tell them more about how God has opened the way so that the Gentiles might no longer be those who are afar off, strangers and aliens without hope in the world. Now they have the opportunity of being able to be brought nigh. And things are getting better and better. The Gentiles are yearning for their company. Well, why, of course. We've been called according to God's purpose. But in our lives, brothers and sisters, we have what we might call those bitter, sweet experiences. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Well, yes, of course. We're called according to God's purpose. We have in our minds that we are called. That in our lives, they are those bittersweet experiences. For every positive, there is usually always a negative. But it is how we cope. It is how we deal with those problems, brothers and sisters. Those lives, those days which just throw up. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold they strengthen their resolve. Because we are called according to God's purpose. And said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. Get out. So, brothers and sisters, things are changing. But we're called according to God's purpose. And Paul and Barnabas stand and see how the city of Antioch raised persecution against them and expel them from their coast. Get out. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. It was a leprous house, brothers and sisters. We won't turn to it. It's there in Leviticus chapter 14. Scrape off the dust from a certain height and take the dust and take it out. Get out. From Antioch, they go over to Iconium. Verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But Lord, we're called according to your purpose. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Did they strengthen their resolve, or were they weakened in their faith, brothers and sisters? Long time, therefore, abode they, brothers and sisters, in our lives. We may well have to abide long time. It might be through failing of health, problems in the home, problems in our place of employment. And God will see fit, brothers and sisters, that long time you may well have to bear that. But you haven't forgotten that you are called according to God's purpose. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the Gentiles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. Brothers and sisters, things are getting worse. The people in Antioch raise persecution against them. Get out. They go over to Iconium. They stand and watch how the people gather stones together to stone them. But hang on a minute. You're called according to God's purpose. Things are not getting better, they're getting worse. It wasn't so bad in Antioch because at least they just told us to get out. Now they stand, look at it, verse 5, to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and about the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel.
But things are getting worse, brothers and sisters.
Antioch, they raise persecution against us. They go over to Iconium. In Iconium, the people gather together to stone them, and they have to flee for their lives.
But hang on a minute. You're called according to God's purpose, aren't you?
You mean it's God's purpose that we're told to get out? It's God's purpose that the people gather together to stone us? It's God's purpose, is it? And so from Antioch to Iconium, from Iconium they go over to Lystra. Verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his womb, from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Jupiter, incidentally, brothers and sisters, was the patron god of travelers. And many of the cities in this locality, they would have at the entrance of the city a temple given over to Jupiter. And if I was to go on a long journey, the last thing I would do, I would take my offerings to the high priest of Jupiter, praying that Jupiter, as the patron god of travelers, would grant me a safe and a prosperous journey. And upon my return, the first thing I would do as I entered the city was bring my offerings of thanksgiving to the high priest of Jupiter for thanking that god for granting me a safe passage home. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, and when you look at the original Brahma Sisters, it implies there that not only the high priest was there, but also the temple itself. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland onto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you." And that's a very good way, brethren and sisters, isn't it? When we're preaching to interested friends, to try and find that common ground, to let them appreciate that the difference is that we have come to a knowledge of the truth, and that we have been baptized, and that we recognize our need of salvation. To find that common ground. "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions. We want to serve a living a God that we worship and we serve. We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch. Remember, brothers and sisters? Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. Antioch were the ones who people said, "Get out." Raise persecution against them. "Get out." Do you know, brothers and sisters? Those men from Antioch
to get to Paul and Barnabas in Lystra traveled no less than 85 miles. From Antioch to Lystra, there are men who are following them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, perhaps the same men who gathered together to stone them. And those men from Iconium traveled no less than 35 miles, brothers and sisters. Antioch to Lystra, 85 miles. Iconium to Lystra, 35 miles. These men were now being hunted, chased, tracked down. But hang on a minute, Lord. We're called according to your purpose, aren't we? We must hold on to the hand of God in our lives, because God will bring into our lives what he sees fit. But hang on a minute, Lord. Things are getting worse. Antioch raised persecution. Iconium, the people gather stones to stone them. Lystra, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul. But hang on a minute, Lord. Aren't we called according to your purpose? In fact, I'm trying to serve you, Lord, and things are not getting better. They're getting consistently worse. It wasn't so bad when they expelled us from their coast, or we could just about get away with it when they gathered together to stone us, but now the Apostle Paul is stoned, brothers and sisters. And that's how the hand of God can so easily work in our lives. Who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now in those days, brothers and sisters, I have no doubt that when you're going to stone somebody, you try and do a jolly good job of it. I can tell you. Well, I can't tell you, but you know what I'm saying. They drag him out of the city and they stone him. Having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, stoned him in the city, then they take him up and take him out of the city. Who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And you can just see, brethren and sisters, the brethren standing in absolute amazement. Here's a man called according to God's purpose. And look at him. Is he dead? And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. Now, I'll tell you something, brethren and sisters. If I'm stoned in a city, and you take me out, the last place I want to go is back in the city. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas and to Derbe. Keep a marker in Acts and just go over, please, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Look at that word despair. In your margin, you may well have not altogether without help or means. Brother, sister,
When things in your life, when things in my life are getting worse, when, Lord, help me to remember that I am called according to your purpose, that we are not altogether without help or means. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Ha, look at this. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, brothers and sisters. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 14 and think of that now in light of the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to ask you a question. Did the Apostle Paul, when he was stoned, now I haven't got the answer, so, and I'm not dogmatic, when he was stoned, you see where I'm going, did he die literally? Was he resurrected literally? Or was that act, brothers and sisters, when they stood around him, supposing that he was dead, notice, verse 19, supposing he had been dead, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. All right, you might think I'm stretching the point. You might be right. Still, there is no effects, it would seem to me, of any concussion, any dizziness. He was a man, brothers and sisters. Whether we see it or not, he was mirroring, wasn't he, brothers and sisters, in type, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his life might be made manifest in him. Perhaps that will help us to remember the hand of God in our lives. Perhaps that will remind us, brothers and sisters, and help us to remember that we are called according to God's purpose, that we might emulate his life, his death, his resurrection. Because we are called according to his purpose. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, where he was stoned, to Iconium, where the people gathered stones to stone him, to Antioch, where the people expelled them from their coasts, from Antioch to Iconium, from Iconium to Lystra. Things were getting worse, brothers and sisters. Why? Look at verse 22. Isn't this exquisite? That in between those times of difficulty and trial, brothers and sisters, there were baptisms. At Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, there were baptisms, brothers and sisters. There were Christadelphians, brethren in Christ, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, much pressure, enter into the kingdom of God. Just come across, brothers and sisters, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we know that the Apostle Paul was writing these letters right at the very end of his life. We know that well enough. And so it's quite fitting, isn't it? It's quite apt that as the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, how apt it was, brothers and sisters, that it's almost as if the Apostle Paul looks back over his life, right back many years earlier, to his very first missionary journey, and describes there in no uncertain terms, brothers and sisters, that that may well have been the toughest time of his life in preaching God's word, in his very first missionary journey. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. We won't look at it, but go back in your spare time to Acts chapter 13, and you will notice that Sergius Paulus he was astonished at the doctrine. When he sees the miracle that the Apostle Paul performs upon the eyes of the false prophet, Bar Jesus, the verse specifically says, notice, he was astonished at the doctrine. Are we astonished at the doctrine, brothers and sisters? Are our young people astonished at the doctrine of God's word? When there was an amazing miracle in the eyes, before the eyes of Sergius Paulus, the verse specifically says in Acts chapter 13 that he was astonished at the doctrine. Now, when I came to a knowledge of the truth, I was astonished at the promises that God had made to Abraham. I was astonished at 2 Samuel chapter 17. I was astonished at Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. I was astonished, brothers and sisters, at God's word, how it, as a brother said to me a couple of days ago, it's like a row of candles that you light simultaneously. I was astonished at that. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, faith, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And this is my title for the talk. We took a long time in getting there. But out of them all, you know, brothers and sisters, in our lives, you know, if you see me again one day, and if you say to me, Brother Kitson, how are you doing? And if I say to you, I'm on the road to Lystra, then you know what I'm saying. Because in our lives, it can be like that. We go from Antioch to Iconium, from Iconium to Lystra, when things are getting worse. And we know what the exhortation is. We are called according to God's purpose. And that out of them all, brethren and sisters, and the Apostle Paul now looks back over his life, and he sees the visible guiding hand in his life, that out of them all, the Lord delivered him. Out of them all. I want to read something to you in the context of God dealing with us and putting us through times of difficulty. It's entitled The Silversmith. Some time ago, a few ladies met in a certain city to read the scriptures and make them the subject of conversation. While reading the third chapter of Malachi, they came upon a remarkable expression in the third verse. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. One lady's opinion was that it was intended to convey the view of the sanctifying influence of the grace of God. Then she proposed to visit a silversmith and report to them what he said on the subject. She went accordingly, and without telling the object of her errand, begged to know the process of refining silver, which he fully described to her. But sir, she said, do you sit while the work of refining is going on? Oh yes, madam, he replied the silversmith. I must sit with my eye steadily fixed on the furnace. For if the time necessary for refining be exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver will be injured. The lady at once saw the beauty and comfort too of the expression. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. God sees it needful to put his children into a furnace. His eye is steadily intent on the work of purifying, and his wisdom and love are both engaged in the best manner for them. Their trials do not come at random. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. As the lady was leaving the shop, the silversmith called her back and said, he had still further to mention that he only knows when the process of purifying is complete by seeing his own image reflected in the silver. Today, if you feel the heat of the fire, may you always remember that his eye never leaves you through your trials, and that this too will pass. For us, brothers and sisters, the hand of God is very evident in our lives. Just come across to the Gospel of Luke, please, with the 5 minutes that remain, to bring our thoughts together. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 23. The resurrection of the Lord. Luke 23 and verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the spirit. Come across, brothers and sisters, to Psalm 31. You may well be there in your mind. And a wonderful study in itself is to see half quotations. The things that Jesus left unsaid, which is just as powerful, maybe even more so. And the very last words that we are recorded of the Lord Jesus Christ is when he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he's quoting, isn't he, brothers and sisters, from Psalm 31 and verse 3. Psalm 31 and verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. And how about this, perhaps, brothers and sisters, that upon the resurrection morning, he completes the quotation. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Half quotations, you see. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Half quotation. Because those who were the faithful would have known that God's hands are mighty to save, and that he would redeem his son from the grave. John chapter 21. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Chapter 20, verse 11 of John. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. It was rather like the Ark of the Covenant, brethren and sisters. The cherubim. On both sides of the mercy seat. Overshadowing the mercy seat, brothers and sisters. Two angels. One at the head, one at the feet. Perhaps was there still, where the body of the Lord had lain, blood stains? Perhaps. We know that they did everything in a hurry because it was the Sabbath. The body wasn't properly prepared.
And so at a distance then, brothers and sisters, in type, we see the whole tomb itself as being the most holy place. The Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy seat. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. The most holy place. The right at the very center, brothers and sisters, of the hand of God. And this is my last reference, Isaiah chapter 52. And how apt it is that we finish when the all-sufficient sacrifice for sin, centered in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 52. And it is not now the hand of God, brothers and sisters. It is extended to the arm of God. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And as it were, brothers and sisters, the Lord God of heaven and earth, the Lord now has made bare his holy arm, as it were, rolling his sleeves up to get to grips with dealing with sin, making bare his holy arm to deal, that his son might be the all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. Chapter 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom? Not the hand, but to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And chapter 53 is the whole saving work of God's plan in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, may we never forget that we have been called according to God's purpose. That his saving hand and his saving arm is strong to the uttermost. Hymn 105. After which, please remain standing for a closing word of prayer. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. Hymn 105.